Hello, I'm here in the studio with Gabrielle Anctil, who's going to tell us a bit about the cycling safety situation in Montreal right now.
Mm-hmm.
Gabrielle, could you start by telling me a bit about your work in this area?
Yeah, well, the most recent event that we organized surrounding bike safety and bike activism was a ghost bike that was installed on May 5th at 7:30 in the morning, and it was following the death of a cyclist, Mathilde Blais, a week before in the viaduct. So she was driving her Bixi to work, and a truck hit her. And so we decided to organize a ceremony to raise awareness about the fact that both, well, the viaducts are dangerous, but generally we thought that it was very important to bring together the community.
How would you characterize the current cycling climate in Montreal?
It's like, you know, there's more and more cyclists, and that is a very good thing, because statistically speaking, the number one thing that makes cyclists safer is numbers. So that's really great. So we have that. We have like more and more cyclists on the street nowadays. The problem is that we have really bad infrastructure. We like have so-called like bike lanes and bike paths, but both of them are extremely dangerous, and that can be proven by the most the recent accident that happened on Saint-Urbain Street. So the cyclist was going down, if people don't know that, there's a bike lane, so like lines drawn on the ground on Saint-Urbain Street, and the cyclist was going down the street, and a truck driver turned right. We don't really know, but potentially without looking. And what happened is that he hit the cyclist. Neither of them were in their wrong. And she was in the bike lane, which is supposedly making her safer. But there she was. She got hit. I think she survived, what I hear. But problem remains that our infrastructure, even the one that's dedicated for cyclists, is not very good.
So in this situation, what changes in infrastructure or attitude could have prevented that kind of accident?
So many things. I think the main, what is made obvious by this accident is that intersections are like the most problematic point in the city, and they are problematic because, well, first of all, because of the highway safety code, also like just generally like the way they are designed, like the number one thing that should be done is like putting cyclists in front of cars at intersections, so that cars know that cyclists are there. So like adding, there's like maybe three of them in the city, like sort of bike boxes, like it's just like a green spot on the ground where like bikes are supposed to go and like cars go behind them. But there's like, I think the number one problem is also like attitudes, like I was saying, like cars, not like they now are learning to share the road, but it's not necessarily because they want to. Like there's this whole question of like who the road belongs to, and we live in the society where cars think they own the road. Like this is just like how we are building our streets and our cities, and we need to change that, both like mentality and also in terms of like how we are building our roads. One thing that we want to see in the upcoming changes in the highway safety code is this concept of responsibility proportional to weight. So like in the case of, let's say, Mathilde Blais, she was in the street and she was doing something completely legal, and the truck who killed her was also doing something completely illegal. Well, according to that concept, he would be responsible of her death. And I'm not sure, I know this. There's something similar in Germany, and I'm not sure how it works out in terms of like financial compensation and that stuff. But the idea is that like pedestrians has priority over like cyclists, and then cyclists have priority over cars and that stuff. So this idea of like responsibility that's proportional to how big you are.
And ideally, this law leads to kind of heightened awareness on the part of drivers.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and also like, you know, like larger fines for, let's say, like that. If you open your car door, you get fined $37 for something that can kill somebody. If you open your car door, you are actually like potentially killing somebody, then like the fine should be like way higher.
If you open it into a bike lane?
Just generally, like the two people that died, well, at least one of them, she was just on Park Avenue. There's no bike lane. And this car door opened in front of her. That's at the end of last summer. And she wasn't on the bike lane. Not that there was any to be on, but it killed her, you know. And had the driver just looked behind him for a second before opening his door, she would still be alive. So his responsibility, neither of them were doing anything illegal, but his responsibility was like, he had much more power than she did, and right. She died, you know.
What, in general, what is the Highway Safety Code's treatment of bikes like?
It's very silly. There's, one main problem for cyclists, and one, like, last year, out of, I think, 5 people who died in Montreal, 2 of them died because of opening car doors. So, like, a car door opened in front of them. In one case, the cyclist was trying to avoid it, and she got hit by a bus. In the other case, the cyclist just, like, hit the door. And both of them died because of that. And in the Highway Safety Code, I think the fine is around, like, $30 for that. So something that is potentially, you know, killing somebody is fine, $30. So a cyclist who doesn't ride on the right-hand side of the street, so like as far away on the right as he or she can. So if a cyclist doesn't do that, then they can be fined another, like, I think it's $30. But now we know that it's potentially fatal for us to drive like on the rightmost side of the street. So it's like, so where are we supposed to be?
This is an interesting segue, the question of cyclists following the rules. And I know that a lot of people have been bringing up the issue that cyclists often don't follow traffic rules. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about that issue?
Well, like I was just explaining, most of them don't seem to be designed bearing our safety in mind. I'm thinking of, like, I understand that cyclists do, like, you know, go across, like, run red lights, for instance. But I think that there needs to be a serious reconsideration of the Highway Safety Code.
Yeah. What are there any cities that are kind of an ideal template for, like, the cycling city in terms of what kind of measures have they put in place?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're always talking about Amsterdam, right? And it's interesting because Amsterdam doesn't, it changed the entire city to accommodate everybody, because we talk about cyclists, but recently pedestrians were also killed. And, you know, like, I'm not at fight against the cars. I just would like cyclists and pedestrians and cars and trucks to better cohabitate in the city we are in right now. It's just like, it's made for cars, and they're the only people, you know, objects that belong on the street. And Amsterdam changed that mentality entirely. And it's just like, no, like, we're going to design streets to make sure that everybody is safe and everybody gets where they're trying to go as safely as possible. So they don't necessarily have, like, bike lanes on every street, but the street itself is designed to make sure that cohabitation is going to be made easier. Another really, really interesting example is the state of Idaho. And they have this Idaho stop law. Cyclists love it because, like I was saying, like, you know how here we have to stop at stop signs. Well, in Idaho, like, cyclists don't have to stop at stop signs. They have to slow down, but not lose their momentum entirely, and then they can continue, because we realize that our field of vision is, like, much wider than of cars, for instance, and just, like, our speed is just, like, so much, like, slower than, like, we can stop easily, like, quickly. And at red lights in Idaho, bikes have to stop, put a foot down, look left and right, and if it's clear, they can go, because it makes more sense. Like, we want to be in front of cars. That's where cars see us. So if we both leave the intersection at the same time, cars, we're, like, on the right or the left-hand side of cars, and they can't see us quite as well. So if we, like, go through, like, red lights, for instance, we just go faster, and it's, like, for real safer. So it goes against, like, what we think, like, oh, cyclists, you know, they run red lights. Well, it's actually safer for us. And it's been proven, because in Idaho, I think since they passed that law, the number of accidents, bike-related accidents, has dropped. It's very interesting because we seem to think that helmets are, like, the, like, godsend, like, thing that cyclists need to wear in order to, like, prevent them from dying. Well, like, the bad news is that Mathilde Blais, who died in the viaduct, she was wearing a helmet, and she died. Helmets, in fact, are only proven to work if you, like, fall, like, from, I think it's, like, 20 kilometers or, like, 40 kilometers an hour, and you fall, like, straight, like, front, like, in the front part of your head. Like, what I'm saying is that helmets only protect you from, like, a very, very specific type of accident. And in fact, it's been proven that in places where helmets are compulsory, the numbers of cyclists go down so dramatically that it actually makes it less safe for cyclists. Like I was saying, like what makes cyclists safer is other cyclists.
Vancouver has, I think, put that into effect.
Compulsory helmets.
Compulsory helmets, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, another thing, I mean, it's a study and like people like disagree with it, but a study that I've seen is that cars are more likely to drive closer to you if you wear a helmet, for instance. And also, like, the problem with helmets is that it places the cyclist's safety into his or her own hands, whereas it should be, like, a matter of, like, the community building safer infrastructures. We're going to blame a cyclist, you know, like, the two Doering accidents I mentioned. So, like, the two Doering accidents we had last year, one of the people who died wasn't wearing a helmet, and she got hit by a bus. And it's obvious that she, like, what's it called? Coroner. Like, the, what they...
Coroner.
Coroner. His report was, like, she would have died had she worn a helmet. You know, like, the helmet had nothing to do with it. Or, like, let's say I have a bike accident and I break my leg. The next day in the media, they'll be like, but she wasn't wearing a helmet. And it's like, I broke my leg. There's nothing, like, no relation. So we need to stop focusing on helmets because, you know, Mathilde Blais died and she was wearing a helmet.
So the city of Montreal has kind of jumped into action following the death of Mathilde Blais and put a couple measures into place. Could you talk about those a bit?
Mm-hmm. The most like widely seen and heard of, I think, is the one where you are not now allowed to ride on the sidewalk in some viaducts in Montreal. And the problem now is that cyclists who decide to still ride on the street, which they are completely legally allowed to do, they get yelled at and told, like, your place is on the sidewalk. And it's not true. Riding on sidewalks should and can only be a temporary measure because sidewalks are for pedestrians, and like cyclists are a danger to pedestrians, very much like, well, not very much like, because they can't kill them, or like less likely to, but you know, like the same level that cars are dangerous for cyclists. Cyclists belong on the streets. They go as fast as a car on average in a city. Their way of like carrying themselves on the street is just much more similar to that of a car. So the problem with that temporary measure now is that people seem to, like, drivers, like, will be like, you don't belong on the street anymore. And it sort of creates this idea that, like, cyclists should go on bike paths only or something. So I'm very glad the city has reacted so fast, but I really, really cannot wait to see the, like, more permanent measures come into place, because that temporary measure has, like, very, very big downfalls.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Gabrielle Antil I'm talking to.
Hi. Bye.